Good morning, everyone. There's a story that an individual went to Mother Teresa and told her that he was an atheist, could not believe in God when he witnessed so much suffering of the innocent, people who were hungry dying, and to see so much sickness amongst those whom he loved. And so Mother's response was direct and profound, as it normally is. She said this: when a poor person dies of hunger, it has not happened because God did not take care of him or her. It has happened because neither you nor I wanted to give that person what he or she needed. Mother's sort of cutting to the chase here. It's so easy for us to blame God. Oh, God can't exist because there are people who are suffering. No, it's not God's fault. It's my fault. It's your fault. It's our fault. We are the ones who've been given the responsibility to reach out to those in need and provide for them in their suffering. And we see that perfect example in today's gospel. Jesus sees the crowd who is hungry, and what does he do? He doesn't say, well, someone else is going to take care of that, or I can't believe that my Father allows these people to suffer. He enlists the disciples, and they feed the crowd. They take care of their immediate needs. But what I want to do today is not so much look at the miracle itself, but to look at in more detail what prompted the miracle. As Jesus gets out of the boat, and it says that he saw the vast crowd, and his heart was moved with pity for them. There are two things we notice. First, that Jesus noticed the crowd. He noticed that they were hungry. He noticed they were suffering. He noticed that they were sick. He saw their needs. He was attentive to them. How often do we not do that? Because we're so caught up in our own trials. We're so distracted or busy or being entertained that there's someone right in front of us who's in need that we don't even notice it. Jesus notices the needs of others. Second, it says that Jesus' heart was moved with pity for them. His heart went out to them. Technically, if you read the Greek, the word is splancha. Not so much his heart, but his guts, his inward parts were turned over. So it wasn't some sort of a nice little Hallmark sentiment. Jesus, deep in his guts, felt the pain of these individuals and wanted to do something for them. But how often when we can notice others who are sick or suffering, our hearts don't move. We often see them as a nuisance or as a bother or as something that the social issues of the day people should take care of, the government or other individuals. Not as it's our responsibility. Our hearts don't move for their suffering and we keep moving on. We don't experience that deep compassion in the very depths or core of our being. So we see Jesus' response and how quite often our response does not live up to what we're called to. But what's the key, besides his divinity, but at least in his humanity, and as a witness to us, that helps us understand how we can respond with compassion as we ought? How can we can have that deep movement in our spirits, and even more importantly, recognize those who need to be taken care of, who are often right in front of us. Notice what happens right before Jesus notices the crowd, before he gets out of the boat. Jesus, after hearing of the death of John the Baptist, Scripture tells us, withdrew to a deserted place by himself. He was alone. Time for prayer, silence, communion with the Father, and contemplation, as Jesus did so often in his ministry. It was that time of prayer, that type of deep silence and communion with the Father that allowed him to be more deeply aware in his humanity of the needs of others. It's the deep spiritual truth, that connection between our prayer life and our awareness and attention to those in need in front of us when we leave and exit prayer. I think I may have given this quote a little bit earlier this summer, from Father Jacques Philippe in his new book, Thirsting for Prayer. And he talks about this and he explains it in a very beautiful and succinct way. He says, the marvel of it is that as we learn to be there with God alone, we learn by that very fact to be there for other people. People with a long established prayer life possess a noticeable quality of attention, presence, listening, and availability, which people whose lives are given over to activity are often incapable of. Prayer gives rise to sensitivity, respect, and attention, precious gifts for those we may encounter on our way. How beautiful is that? And if we spend time in prayer, if we're encountering Christ, he begins to change our hearts, to change our guts, if you will, so that when we leave, we become more attentive to those in need and can reach out to them. So if we can notice in our own lives, or in our church, or in society and culture, the fact that we are not attentive to the needs of the poor and the hungry and the refugees and the destitute and those who are in prison and need of love, the real root of the problem is that we are a people, we are a society, we are a church that has a shallow or non-existent prayer life. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have social programs. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have these types of charitable outreaches, but the most important thing we can do, not just to provide for the needs, but to address the person there, address the person as an individual, is to deepen our prayer life. What sort of led me to reflect on this and want to preach on it was something that happened a couple of weeks ago, actually probably about 3 weeks ago now. I got a phone call about a man who was murdered in Lafayette. And I've preached about this in the past two masses, and it's surprising. No one has really heard of the story. The man's name was Davis Thibodeau, and he was about 61 years old, and he was homeless, living on the streets. Homeless and living on the streets. And so he was sleeping over there on South Buchanan when at night a car drove by, an 18-year-old boy saw him there, pulled out his gun, and while he was sleeping began firing at him, landed one bullet, and killed him in his sleep. Killed him in his sleep. So I got the phone call to go to the next day with Father Broussard to the St. Joseph's Diner, where they feed the homeless men every day of Lafayette. Over 100 men there. So many of them already feeling alienated because they have no home. Many of them have been abandoned by their families. But now they were frightened and scared. They were grieving at the loss of their good friend who died a completely, utterly senseless death. Fortunately, the perpetrator has been caught and will hopefully be brought to justice. But the reality is this episode shows and reflects to us the exact opposite extreme of what Christ calls us to. Imagine what would have happened if this young man might have had a life of prayer and seeing this man on the street sleeping, obviously homeless, reach out to him with caring compassion instead of ending his life senselessly. We pray not only for the repose of the soul of Mr. Thibodeau, but pray that the Lord has mercy on this young man and he could come to a greater repentance. And this is the key, the heart. Prayer leads to compassion. Compassion, though, needs to lead to action and responsibility. So we can sit here and examine our conscience. And I don't think anybody's going to go out here and say, Father, no, I don't need to be more aware of the needs of the poor. I don't need to provide for them. Or, you know, this prayer is a bunch of baloney. Well, hopefully are all, myself included, a little bit more uncomfortable. We can sit here and talk about it all we want, and we can take the prayer and pray the Lord changes our hearts, as he well should. But the fact of the matter is, we've got to do something. You've got to take a radical leap. As important as prayer is, sometimes the things that kindles the graces that have been given to us in prayer of actually going out and do something, reaching out to those in need. Matthew chapter 25, Christ is very clear. We are the ones who have the responsibility to clothe the naked, feed the poor, visit those in prison, give drink to those who are thirsty. And so we need to practically, as Christians and Catholics, begin to get involved doing these things. Go spend some time each month or each week volunteering at St. Joseph's Diner or at a homeless men's shelter, reaching out to the women who are in the women's shelter in our diocese, spending some time visiting the nursing home. Take a mission trip. I don't care what it is, but get your hands dirty. You know, we're so blessed in our diocese There's so much good work that our diocese does, and the different offices and people in the diocese in reaching out to those in need. And we can't forget that. And that we need to be more aware of it so that we can get involved. It's not the bishop's responsibility. It's not the Catholic Social Services responsibility. It's our responsibility. We need to get involved. Yes, by giving money, by being generous to a favorite charity, to the church, to the poor, whatever. But we have to be able or willing to get our hands dirty, but more importantly, reach out and encounter the poor as individuals and as persons. So as I began with a quote from Mother Teresa, I'll end with a quote from her that sort of encapsulates this. She says, "Many people are talking about the poor, but very few people talk to the poor. Getting to know them as individuals, reaching out and helping them understand their dignity, it is our responsibility. Our contemplation should lead to action. We have a responsibility to care for our brothers and sisters. Quit putting the burden on other people. Quit blaming God for all the terrible things and begin to be Christ's loving presence to those in need in our broken and suffering world." Amen.